Well, hello, everybody. This is Robert Carter. I'm down in Texas. I've done many podcasts over the years, but this is actually the first one that I've done that I can really call my own. It's because it's hosted now on my own blog and website. And the address for that website is www.drcarter.com. That's dr-carter.com. You'll find information about this podcast, as well as links to listen to the podcast, links to download the podcast if you choose to do that. And at the bottom of the page, you'll find a link to add the podcast to your RSS feed so that your podcatcher like iTunes or Juice can automatically download the podcast when you choose to have them go and check for new shows. We'll be doing podcasts from time to time. We're not sure exactly of what the schedule will be. We're not going to commit to a particular time schedule, but we ask you to check back every once in a while and see what's going on at drcarter.com. I'll also be writing some blog posts along the way about various things. Mostly we'll be dealing with technology that's designed to be accessible by people who are blind, and that's part of what today's podcast is about. But in addition to that, we just want to take a little time to introduce ourselves. As I said, I'm Robert from Texas, and I have a co-host with me who's going to be co-hosting this podcast with me today, and her name is Jenny Axler. Say hi, Jenny.
Hello, everyone.
Glad to have you here.
It's great to be here. As Robert said, my name is Jenny Axler. Some of you may know me from my work with the Level Star Icon. I live on a small farm in rural Iowa, and I want to welcome you to the first Tech Doctor podcast. Part of what we want to do is to demystify a lot of what is confusing about the technology market and the products that are out today, especially products that are similar. And so we're going to start with a comparison between the Plextalk Pocket and the APH Bookport Plus. As you may know, these products use basically the same hardware, and they also happen to use a good deal of the same firmware. APH has taken advantage of some of the firmware that Shinano Kenshi has already created, but they have put their own user interface on it. And so it may be confusing when you look at the two side by side. Okay, which one do I want? What are the characteristics that differ in each one? So we thought with the recent release of the Bookport and some updates coming up with the Plextalk Pocket that this would be a timely podcast to start with.
Absolutely. And you're quite right that the two are virtually identical as far as holding them in your hand and the placement of the buttons. They are the same. But the difference really is when you get under the hood, and that's what we're going to take a look at today.
And Robert happens to have both of these devices, and I do not have either of them. So I'm actually going to play the curious consumer and sort of interview him and have him demonstrate a few things. So I want to get started. You were just talking about holding them in your hand. Are there any physical differences at all? Can you tell if you have them both side by side? Can you tell which one is which?
Well, the front of the two devices are identical. You cannot tell the front of one from the other. The speaker grill, the placement of the buttons, the feel of the surface is exactly the same on the two devices. However, on the back of the devices, APH has asked Shinano Kenshi to put some writing on the back of the Bookport Plus that isn't on the Plextalk Pocket. And that writing is kind of embossed, kind of has a rough feel to it. So when you hold them, you can tell by feeling the back of the unit which one's the Bookport Plus and which one is the Plextalk Pocket. But other than that, the two units are identical as far as the hardware goes.
So the main differences lie in what the buttons actually do, or rather the steps that you take to perform an action on each unit. Yes?
Yes, that's absolutely right. Firmware is the brains of the unit, and what APH has done is modified the original brains, if you will, so that they have the buttons doing some different things on the Bookport Plus than what they do on the Plextalk Pocket. And that makes for a different user interface. There's also a difference between what the two units sound like in that one of the units, the Bookport Plus, uses a human voice to read its menus and to speak any information that the user needs to know to operate the unit, whereas the Plextalk Pocket uses a synthesized voice to read that guide and menu information.
Okay, well, maybe a good place to start would be to go through the key describers of each unit and see how the functions of the buttons differ. I assume they both have a key describer, yes?
Yes, both units do have a key describer, and the way you access that key describer is by holding down the menu button, which is actually the top right button on the keypad. And I think first I'm probably going to have to wake it up here, so I'm just going to press any key to wake it up here.
1:56 p.m.
And now I'm going to hold down the menu button until we get into the key describer mode. And once we do that,
key describer on,
I can go through the keys on the keyboard. And I'm going to start at the top left of the keyboard on both units and go through in the same order. So the first key that we get to will be
record key. Press twice to record. Pause recording with another press. Press enter to stop. Hold and speak, then release for voice memos.
And just below the record key, still on the left side of the unit, we have
go to key. Press repeatedly to jump directly to pages, headings, or percentage.
And below the go to key, we have
bookmark key. Press repeatedly to move to, set, and clear bookmarks, including ones with voice annotation.
Then just next to the go-to key, we have a group of arrow keys, and I'll just go through them quickly.
Left arrow key. Press to rewind 5 seconds in audio or sentences in text. It moves by letters during pause.
In the center of the arrow keys, we have this key.
Play stop key. Press to start or stop playback, or to select an option in a menu or list.
Next we have the
right arrow key. Press to fast forward 5 seconds in audio or sentences in text. It moves by letters during pause. Up arrow key. Press to increase the playback speed or to move up a line in text during pause. Hold to quickly increase the speed. Down arrow key. Press to decrease the playback speed or move down a line in text during pause. Hold to quickly decrease the speed.
To the right of the group of arrow keys, we have two other keys.
Menu and key describer key. Press to open or close the menu. Hold for 5 seconds to turn on and off key describer.
And just below the menu key,
title key. Press once, then use left or right arrow to browse other titles. Press repeatedly to cycle among the SD card, USB, and voice memos.
Now we have below those keys a telephone-style numeric keypad. And I'm just going to go through those keys quickly, starting with the one key and going in order.
One key. Press to rewind 30 seconds in audio or paragraphs in text while playing. It moves by words during pause. Two key. Press repeatedly to select among speed, tone, guide speed, and guide volume. Then use the volume control to adjust the selected option. The volume key returns to volume control after 10 seconds or when you press another key. 3 key. Press to fast forward 30 seconds in audio or by paragraphs in text while playing. It moves by words during pause. 4 key. Press to rewind 10 minutes in audio or by pages in text. 5 key. Press repeatedly to hear battery level and power source and other information about the current title, such as the time elapsed in audio or percentage in text. Hold to hear the current time and date. 6 key. Press to fast forward 10 minutes in audio or by pages in text. 7 key. Press to move back by track or album in audio or by the selected table of contents amount in DAISY. Use 8 repeatedly to select the amount. 8 key. Press repeatedly to cycle among track and album in audio or the possibilities offered in the table of contents for DAISY. Then use 7 and 9 to move by the selected amount. 9 key. Press to move forward by track or album in audio or by the selected table of contents amount in DAISY. Use 8 repeatedly to select the amount. Star key. Press to cancel a selection or to undo the last navigation. 0 key. Press to open or close the built-in help. It uses the synthesized speech to read. Use all the normal navigation commands. Pound key. Press to redo and undo.
So there you have all of the keys that are on the Bookport Plus.
It's kind of interesting. For those of you who have an Icon or Braille Plus, you may find a lot of that very familiar. It's somewhat similar to what they've done on there.
Yes, absolutely. You can tell that APH has definitely had an influence here. I'll now switch over to the PlexTalk Pocket, and we'll do exactly the same keyboard routine on the PlexTalk that we did on the Bookport Plus. I'm now going to power up the PlexTalk Pocket. It's turned off at the moment. I'm going to press the power button right now.
SD card, Daisy title.
Smart Computing, February 2010.
As you can see, the PlexTalk Pocket came up and said that it was looking on its SD card, and it read the title that was currently selected, which was a smart computing issue. I'm going to now press the same button that I pressed on the Bookport Plus, which was the menu key. I'm going to hold it down until it goes into the keyboard describer mode, and we'll go through the keys.
Key describer on.
And I'm going to start at the top left of the keyboard, just like I did with the Bookport Plus.
Record key. Press to record. Press and hold to record a voice memo.
Just below the record key, we have...
Go to key. Select go to functions.
And below the go to key...
Bookmark key. Select bookmark functions.
Now, to the right of the go to and bookmark keys, we have this group of arrow keys that we had on the Bookport Plus. I'll go through them.
Left key, move back. Play stop key or enter. Right key, move forward. Up key, scroll up or cancel. Down key, scroll down or enter.
And then to the right of the group of arrow keys, we have two other keys. On the top is the
menu key, press and hold for key describer.
And on the bottom,
title key,
is the title key. And now I'm going to go through the numeric keypad on the PlexTalk Pocket, starting with the 1 key.
1 key, switch tone or speed control. 2 key. 3 key.
As you can see, these keys have no function assigned.
4 key. 5 key, information. 6 key. 7 key. 8 key. 9 key, backup.
That allows you to make a backup copy of what's on your SD card or backup something from a thumb drive to an SD card.
Star key, cancel, undo. Zero key, help. Pound hash key, enter, redo.
All right, so there are all the keys on the PlexTalk Pocket.
Wow, I noticed several things right away. First of all, the PlexTalk Pocket gave you much less information. And am I not correct in that the arrow keys, when you're in playback, adjust the level by which you navigate, and the left and right arrows allow you to navigate by that level?
You are absolutely correct. The up and down arrows change the heading level and the table of contents. For example, in a DAISY book, you can change from, say, chapters to pages to paragraphs and so on. With the up and down arrows, and the left and right arrow will take you through the different groupings from chapter to chapter or page to page, for example.
Okay, interesting that the key describer does not give you that information. Okay, well, that's good to know. And the number pad, it doesn't sound like they utilize that nearly as much as the Bookport does.
I don't believe so. It's possible that a couple of the keys do something, but they aren't listed in the key describer for some reason. But for the most part, the PlexTalk Pocket makes significantly less use of the number pad for navigation and for doing things than the Bookport Plus does. That's one of the real differences between the two, is that the Bookport Plus uses its number pad to do the kinds of things that one has come to expect over the years for an APH product, such as the original Bookport or the Braille Plus, to do. As you were pointing out, they're very similar in their interface.
You know, the other thing I noticed is that when you turned on the PlexTalk Pocket, that it gave you a load of information and started the book title and everything else. When you woke up the Bookport Plus, you basically just got the time. Why is that?
Well, it's a good question, and actually, it's one of the big differences between the two units. The PlexTalk Pocket is normally, when you're not using it, kept turned off because it would either sit there and run its battery down if it were left on, or it would, within, I believe, 20 minutes, turn itself off anyway. So its idle state is to be off. The Bookport Plus, on the other hand, has been modified so that its idle state is a sleep mode, which is not the same thing as being turned off, given that one can very quickly wake the Bookport up from sleep mode at any time. Even though you have the advantage of being able to quickly wake it up, you don't really lose a lot in terms of battery drain. APH says that the Bookport Plus will go for 20 days in sleep mode before killing the battery. Something I noticed just as an aside over the last week, last Sunday I was doing some work with the PlexTalk Pocket and the Bookport Plus, and I didn't touch the PlexTalk Pocket for 7 days from last Sunday to today, and it was fully charged when I left it last Sunday. And when I picked it up today, it was at about 30%. So it had lost about 70% of its charge within the last week. The Bookport Plus, on the other hand, which I had used a fair amount during the week but had not charged it since last Sunday, was still at about 40% or 45%. Just a little aside to point out that it does seem somehow, at least in my cursory, non-scientific examination, that the Bookport Plus is getting a little better battery life for some reason than the PlexTalk Pocket.
And it doesn't seem to matter if it's powered completely off. You get battery drain anyway, even though the PlexTalk is powered completely off and the Bookport is not. You still get battery drain.
Yes, the clock on both of them will drain some battery even when they're turned off, but the sleep mode on the Bookport doesn't seem to be a significant drain. When it's actually going to sleep, you'll hear a little sound from it. And that I would see as probably a necessary evil, but a slight potential disadvantage, in that if you're a student sitting in a classroom and you allow your Bookport Plus to fall asleep just before you fall asleep, no, hopefully you won't fall asleep, but just if you allow your Bookport Plus to fall asleep, it'll make a sound.
Can you turn the sounds off?
You can turn some of the sounds off. You can turn the waiting sound off, and you can turn the sound that you get when you press a key. It gives you a little beep to let you know that a key is pressed. Those can be turned off, but I don't think you can turn the going to sleep sound off.
Hmm. I guess I can understand that, because how else would you know?
How else would you know that it had gone to sleep? And let me just show you an advantage of the sleep mode, which is currently the way it is right now. It's asleep. I'm going to now wake the Bookport up from its sleep mode and show you what happens when I press the play key.
160 gigabyte hard drive, integrated wireless and Bluetooth, a 1.3 M.
And what you heard there was the Bookport immediately woke up and started playing the file that was currently open, which happened to be an issue of Smart Computing from the National Library Service. And so you can see the real advantage of this instant sleep and instant waking mode, because if you're a student, for example, in a classroom and doing recordings and you want the recording to immediately come up and start recording, or if you're listening to a book and you need to pause and take some notes and you want it to play back quickly, you just press the play key and you're up and running again.
That is actually a very nice feature. Now, if you actually power it off, I assume then it's similar to what the PlexTalk does. It reads the card and gives you the book title, etc.
Well, by powering it off, you have to hold down the power key and allow it to actually turn itself off. Let's try that and see what happens. Holding it down now.
Power off.
You heard that sound letting us know that it was powered off, and I'm now going to power it back on and see if it behaves the way the PlexTalk Pocket did.
2:14 p.m. SD card. Daisy title.
Smart Computing. February 2010.
So, yes, it was identical to what we got when we powered up the PlexTalk Pocket a while ago.
One other thing that I happen to notice is the voice. Some of you may find the APH Bookport Plus voice familiar. It's actually Jill Fox, is it not?
Yes, it is, who, of course, is a quite famous reader of NLS talking books and other publications. And they actually had her record all of the menus and prompting for the Bookport Plus. Gives it a very nice, warm sound to me, and that's a most welcome thing in a player like this.
It's neat to hear a familiar voice on some electronic device. So how about playing with some files? Could you maybe demo a little bit of playback on each unit and highlight some of the differences?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. We can give that a shot. I've got the PlexTalk Pocket plugged in here, and let's just start the playing of this magazine and see what it sounds like.
Samsung's Go Netbook isn't one of those pseudo-mobile devices. The Go, $479.99, www.samsung.com,
so as you can see,
is a netbook that measures just 10.3.
The quality is very clear and nice sounding. I am going to demonstrate the different levels of navigation and move from article to article here in this magazine so that you can see how quickly the PlexTalk Pocket responds to keystrokes. So I'm going to start playback by pressing the center key here, and then I'm going to use the up and down arrow keys to adjust my level of heading here. Pressing the center key.
Choose in length and weighs 2.9
pounds.
Pressing
the up arrow key.
Level 2.
Despite its scant size,
level
up arrow again,
the Go offers plenty of computing power and features, along with a battery that can last practically all day.
Move by the right arrow
key. This netbook also comes in a choice
of
four colors.
That's going to take
orange,
us through
midnight blue,
probably
mint blue,
the largest
and jet black.
Increments of the magazine.
Powered
the major
by the
sections,
Intel Atom N270, the Go offers
right
decent processing. News from the help desk. Our most common tech calls. Compiled
right
by Chris Blazer Brambilla. Tech diaries. Become a better presenter.
Let's try left
Logitech
arrow.
Logitech R400 and
R800. Left arrow now.
Linne. News from the help desk. Our most common tech calls. Compiled
Let's try
by
moving
Chris
down
Blazer
to
Brambilla.
The next level
Reading
2
time,
with the down
8
arrow.
Minutes.
Level 1.
Each month, we receive
level 2.
Numerous
it was interesting that when I pressed the down arrow,
messages.
It repeated the
some
level 1.
Some computer problems are fairly
because
common,
that was the level
and we find that
we
many
on.
Callers struggle to
I
resolve
really
the same issues.
Do that,
in this article,
it,
we cover some
the
of the most common
pocket.
Or timely tech support
press
questions
the right arrow
and provide our solution for each of them.
Level 2 headings.
Q.
Here's the right arrow.
I have trouble seeing while using tech diaries. Become a better presenter. Fresh fruit
right
in the
again.
Apple bunch. iPod Nano. Reduce, reuse, recycle, repeat.
Left arrow.
Fresh fruit in the Apple bunch.
So as you can see, the PlexTalk Pocket is really quite responsive when you move from section to section in this magazine. And that's honestly a major improvement to the PlexTalk Pocket in its most recent firmware, which is a public beta firmware that just came out actually a few days ago. They have done a very nice job of making the PlexTalk Pocket much more responsive in this firmware. And I think that's one of the most interesting and exciting aspects of these two devices. The fact that they're in competition with each other, it's ironic that they're running on the same hardware, but I think certainly APH has really pushed Shinano Kinshi to improve the PlexTalk Pocket to come up to the level of responsiveness to where the BookPort Plus is. Okay, what I'd like to do now, just for comparison's sake, is to show you navigation within the same file on the BookPort Plus. And the first thing I'm going to do is point out that it's done differently. On the PlexTalk Pocket, I was using the arrow keys, up and down to move by level, left and right to move within a section. Or within a level. On the BookPort Plus, this is all done with the 7, 8, and 9 keys on the numeric keypad. 7 moves you back within a section, 8 changes the level, and 9 moves you forward within a given section or level. So I'm going to start the file playing, and I'm going to start pressing the 9 key, which is going to move me forward through the headings.
P, megapixel camera. And a 3-in-1 memory card
press
slot.
Press the 9.
Storage. Bring a cloud into
press
your home.
Press the 9
home.
Again.
Displays. A
As you can see,
benefit.
It's moving very quickly from section to section. We can move back with a 7 key just to show you that.
By now,
now
you're likely familiar
key.
With storage. Bring a cloud
7
into
key
your
again.
Home. desktops and laptops. Samsung Go.
Now I'm going to run through the different levels with the 8 key and let you see what those are.
Level 2. Level 1. Phrase. Level 2.
So we've got level 2, level 1, and phrase. And as you can see, one of the differences is that Jill Fox is announcing these levels. So that's another thing that she does with the book port, where the Plextalk Pocket uses a synthesizer to do it.
I also noticed something in the beeps. There's a different beep when you reach level 2. Is that indicating that you're at the lowest level or the most specific?
Yes.
Okay.
So that gives you some ideas about the navigation on both units. I think that they're pretty similar in their responsiveness. That really the main difference being whether you're going to navigate using the arrow keys or navigate using the numeric keypad.
Okay, how about speed? Can we play a little bit with that?
Yes, let's try speed on the BookPort Plus here. And the way that you change the speed on the BookPort Plus is by using the up and down arrow keys. And that's true with any type of file that's playing. So I'm going to start the file playing and I'm going to start speeding up.
By their nature, notebooks and netbooks are mobile devices. But let's face it, not all designs are quite mobile enough to stash in your backpack or purse without serious hassle. Samsung's Go netbook isn't one of those pseudo-mobile devices. The Go, $479.99, www.samsung.com, is a netbook that measures just 10.3 inches in length and weighs 2.9 pounds. Despite its size, the Go offers plenty of computing power and features, along with a battery that can last practically all day. This netbook also comes in a choice of four colors, sunset orange, midnight blue, mint blue, and jet black. Powered by the Intel Atom M270, the Go offers decent processing power that won't drain battery before you blink. Along with its energy-conscious processor, the Go features a 6-cell high-capacity battery that's estimated to provide up to 9 hours of computing on a single charge. The Go also has a 10.1 inch, 1024 by 600 resolution display, 1 gigabyte of DDR2, double data rate 2 RAM, a 160 gigabyte hard drive, integrated wireless and Bluetooth.
Heard a different beep there when I pressed the last one. That's because that's the very top speed. So as you can see, it actually is reading quite fast. We can now come back down. I'll just quickly press the down arrow key multiple times to get back to the normal speed, and then I'll show you that you can slow it down as well.
1.3 MP megapixel camera, and a 3-in-1 memory. Card slot.
Back to normal.
The Go's keyboard uses a pebble design.
Slow down.
It's completely flat and has key spacing that's a little different from traditional.
And so there are actually two speeds
keyboard
that are below normal. And I didn't count them, but there are a number of them that will speed up above normal. So you got quite a range of speeds there. And again, it's very easy to do on the BookPort Plus because you simply are pressing the up and down arrow to change the speed. And it's nice that there's consistency across all file types, whether it's a text file or an audio file. Same keystrokes are used to manipulate the speed. And that's true for most of the other commands on the BookPort. It's quite consistent across different file types. Let's look at the Plextalk here and its ability to change speed. And what you do is you press the number 1 key on the numeric keypad to get into speed mode. There's actually a speed mode and a tone mode that you can cycle between by pressing the 1 key. But when you go into speed mode, then you use the up and down arrows to actually change the speed. So I'm going to start playing, press the 1, and then start changing the speed.
iPod Nano. Tara
now
Simmons
pressing
Bantam.
The 1.
Speed.
Reading time,
now
4
pressing
minutes.
Pressing the speed up arrow key.
Send your comments to Tara at smartcomputing.com. iPods are like Kleenexes in that, for some, the name has come to represent an entire category of items. And while there are plenty of reasons to think outside the Apple box, the iPod's ubiquity isn't an accident. They pack a lot of features. And the fine-size Nano is no exception. The new slate of iPods from Apple introduced basic changes to all the players. But the iPod Nano got the biggest makeover with significant feature updates while maintaining solid performance in video and audio playback. The screen is bigger than the 4th generation Nano's at 2.2 inches. And even at this size, doing video on the right screen was easy on my eyes. I wouldn't want to watch a full-length movie on a small device.
That's your top speed there. And I believe it's about the same as what you would find on the BookPort. Now, the Plextalk Pocket will not stay in this speed mode. If you let it read for more than 5 seconds, it will go back to having the up and down arrow keys adjust your heading level. And so you have to be cognizant of the fact that do you want speed mode or tone mode or the arrow keys to perform their regular adjustment of level of content. And so there aren't keys assigned specifically to do these tasks, but the arrow keys are doing double or triple duty with the depressing of another key like the number one. So I would say that the changing of speed is slightly more complicated on the Plextalk Pocket.
Yeah, it's almost the same. It just takes one more little step.
One more little step. And I think that's really what I meant by consistency earlier, is that you can always count on the 7 and 9 keys moving you by headings, and always count on the up and down arrows moving you by speed on the Bookport Plus. But the Plextalk Pocket sort of depends on which mode you're in.
Ah. How about recording? I noticed that when you were doing the key describer, the Bookport Plus said something about press twice to record and once to pause. And when you were in the key describer for the Plextalk Pocket, it just said press to record, and it didn't give you near as much information. So I guess what I'm just wondering, is it pretty much the same or is it different?
Okay, actually, it's just that things are described a little bit differently on the Bookport Plus. The description is perhaps a little better. They both operate the same. And the reason it said press record key twice to start recording is simply because the first time you press the record key on both units, that puts you into a record monitor type mode where it's not actually recording at that point, but if you have headphones on, you can hear what your recording is going to sound like when you do start recording. It's a standby mode. You can also adjust your record level at that point. Both units have an automatic gain control, or you can adjust the record level manually. And both units will tell you about the quality of your recording. If the record level is too low, it'll say low. If it's correct, it'll say good. If it's too high, it'll say high. And the unit will keep repeating these levels until you have it set the way that you want it. And then when you're actually doing your actual recording, you would press the record key again to take it out of standby mode and start the recording.
Ah, okay. So it's basically the same. It's just described differently.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think actually the recording capabilities at this point are the same on both units. I'm not sure that they will always be the same, but right now they both operate exactly the same way in record mode.
Okay. One thing we haven't looked at all is text-to-speech. They use the same text-to-speech engine, is that correct? They both use Nuance?
Yes, they do. They both use the Nuance vocalizer, and so they have a male and female voice that can read text-to-speech, and by text, I'm talking about .txt files, .html files, .doc files.
Daisy
text, yes. If you have a DAISY file, for example, something from Bookshare. And most people are probably familiar with what these Nuance voices sound like, but if you'd like, I can switch into a text file and play a little bit.
If you could give us a little sample, I think that would be good. One thing I noticed from the Bookport's website is that there seems to be more compression in the Nuance voices that are used for these products, and I think it might be advantageous for our listeners to know what that sounds like.
Okay. What I'm going to do now is press the title key and locate a title that will let us demonstrate the text-to-speech capability.
SD card. DAISY title. 1.
Smart computing.
2.
Okay.
3.
Time Magazine, March 29, 2010.
In the folder.
Root.
That's telling us that that's a Time Magazine dated March 29th, and that file is located in the root of the Bookport Plus. Let me start the file playing here.
The title of this material is Time Magazine, within the meaning of 17 U.S.C. Sec. 121. And who
reading the copyright information. Let's see if we can move down to a different section.
Letters. Inbox Monday, March 29, 2010. History 2.0. Tom Hanks deserves our admiration. But
in the letters section, we'll move to another section here by pressing the 9 key.
Essay. Healthcare Brawl, Why Obama's Team Thinks It Can Win by Michael Scherer, Thursday, March 18, 2010.
I'll just start speeding up the healthcare brawl here. That sounds like an exciting article. And we can see what the speed up sounds like with this TTS.
Alex Brandon, AP, Barack Obama's top pollster, Joel Benenson, talks fast like a New Yorker.
I'm pressing the up arrow.
And he says, the night before we spoke, he slept 4 hours. And after more than a year of watching the numbers slide around his big client signature initiative, healthcare.
Healthcare reform. One can forgive him for betraying a bit of frustration. It's never enough to just say people are unhappy. He explains. You've got to understand why they are unhappy. Since August, he's had to deal with death panel.
That's our top speed.
Of the government takeover of healthcare. He has watched Obama's approval rating fall from the high 60s to the high 40s, while opposition to Democratic healthcare reforms have inched above 50% in many polls. Recently, he's seen that Republican leaders declare that Democratic hopes for the November elections will collapse if healthcare reform becomes law. Do you really think the Republicans are out there trying to save Democrats from themselves? He asked left. See the top 10 medical breakthroughs of 2009.
So there's not actually a whole lot of degradation there. It's very understandable. But yeah, it's definitely, if you compare it to something like VoiceOver or even Nuance on the Stream, it's definitely more compressed or something. The voice sounds different. And I guess I just wanted to point that out. Both products also come with Nuance Samantha. Is that correct?
Right. They come with the Nuance male and female voices. And most people probably know what those sound like. But that gives you a little flavor. It's a pretty typical sounding, quite similar to the Victor Reader Stream and some of the other products that use those voices. Although I would have to say that, some of them do sound a little less compressed to me. For example, the voice on the iPhone sounds less compressed to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the one on the Stream does a little bit to me too, but it's still very understandable though. And, you know, as you pointed out, there really is very little degradation when you speed it up. You can easily listen to it at very fast speeds. So,
yeah, I have to say that I've not been a big fan of these voices, but in all honesty, when I listen to Tom at high rates of speed, I can really get through some of these Time Magazine or other text-based articles really quickly. So I think I was a little quick to dismiss these voices on the first listen and go, ooh, I don't like that. But actually, when you speed them up, they're pretty functional.
Okay, so how about transferring files and something else that I wondered about? Do both products play the same file types?
Yes, both products do play the same file types at this point, with one difference that I can think of. The BookPort Plus is able to play, actually two differences. It's able to play .pdf files and .brf or Braille files. The PlexTalk Pocket is not able to do that at this point. But the reason that the BookPort Plus has this advantage is not actually that it can play these native file formats. It's that it has a transfer tool that's a piece of software that runs on your Windows-based computer. No transfer software for the Mac at this point. But running on Windows, you install a piece of software that comes shipped with the BookPort on a CD, and it allows you to transfer material from your computer to the BookPort. And it's actually a very nice piece of software, giving you lots of prompts and tones to let you know what's going on with the transfers. It will let you transfer files that are zipped. No need to unzip them first. It will let you transfer .brf and .pdf files, as I mentioned, because it goes ahead and translates those into text and sends them over to the BookPort Plus. So that is an advantage that the BookPort Plus has over the PlexTalk Pocket, although I would have to say that both units without any transfer software are very easy to put files onto the unit. You can copy them either onto the SD card. Both units use a high-capacity SD card up to 32 gigabytes in storage. Of course, they can use a regular SD card as long as it's less than 4 gigabytes. And the SD card can be easily put into a card reader on your computer and files copied to it. They don't have to be in any particular folders. The products will organize the files based on the type of file it is, put them in groups, and really does a lot of intelligent organizing so that when you start playing files, it will handle them appropriately. So really, it is nice to have the transfer tool for the BookPort Plus, but if you chose the PlexTalk Pocket, you'd be okay as far as getting files onto the unit. In addition to copying them to an SD card, if you plug either device into your computer through the USB connection, it'll just come up as a drive letter, like a disk drive. You can just copy information to it that way.
Now, I've actually heard a demonstration of the Bookport Plus's transfer software. And one very cool feature that I want to point out is that you are allowed to preview your files almost as though you're looking at them on your bookshelf. And what's very cool about this is even a zipped file, for example, like an NLS zip file that you've downloaded, if you arrow to it, it will actually read you the title in the narrator's voice inside that zip folder. You don't actually have to open it, which is very nice because you can really see what you have and transfer it. And it's the same way it'll read you what's in a PDF without you having to translate it or a BRF. No matter what you have, if the Bookport transfer software supports dealing with it, you sort of get this little preview. So you can just arrow through whatever it might be and it'll tell you what's there.
Yeah, I would have to say that the Bookport transfer software, the book transfer software, is really a Cadillac of transfer software. It offers that very nice preview feature along with a number of other features that just make file management really nice. And the other thing it does is it gives you the capability to update both that book transfer software from within the software and to update the firmware for the Bookport Plus when new firmware is released. So it really is a very nice tool and a very nice addition to this product.
So you can download the firmware into the Bookport transfer software, and the next time you hook up your Bookport, it'll automatically update it for you?
Probably it would queue it for you like that, but I was actually saying that you can just have your Bookport connected while the transfer software is running and choose one of the options to update firmware.
Oh,
it'll
okay.
just copy it straight to the Bookport from the APH website.
Okay. So, you've used them both for a good while now. Which one do you prefer?
You're asking me a tough question.
I
like both products, and I think they both really have their place. And certainly, Shinano Kinshi gets a lot of kudos, as far as I'm concerned, for creating a fine piece of hardware that both devices are running on. But if I had to choose one over the other, at this point in time, I would choose the Bookport Plus. I believe that with the transfer software, with the improved navigation, with some of the changes that they have made to the way the speech sounds when you listen to menus and guide information and so forth, I would have to choose the Bookport Plus at this point.
Yeah, I think I would too, just listening to what you've demonstrated here. Although one thing I will point out is that Shinano Kenshi is now working on Wi-Fi capability. And of course, this will probably come to the Bookport Plus too, I would imagine, given that the hardware is there. But I think Shinano Kenshi is obviously going to come out with it first. It's currently being advertised that this is like in the very, very near future. So it will be interesting to see how that interface plays out. And, you know, just now, like you said, with these two products competing, I think that we're really going to see some neat things out of both products in the future.
Yeah, this Wi-Fi interface was actually a lovely surprise. The PlexTalk Pocket has had a sleeping Wi-Fi radio in it ever since I got it last year, and I had no idea that it was even there until they started talking about they're getting ready to turn it on. So, and of course, it's in both products, and I think we're going to see a lot of things coming down the road with the ability to transfer files wirelessly to the unit, probably with the ability to connect to the internet and maybe download books or listen to radio stations or podcasts. So for a little device of this size to be able to use it wirelessly, I think is a very exciting thing that we really haven't seen in a portable digital player before.
It's very cool.
The competition in this area is really incredible right now, and I don't know whether all these players can survive, but I don't know if you heard just this past week, HIMS introduced a new version of the BookSense.
Yeah, with a screen on it.
That has a screen on it. And so the competition is even, you know, getting more dense with several flavors of BookSense to add to the PlexTalk Pocket and the Bookport Plus, as well as the Milestone, that's another player that's out there. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see how these players all find a way to compete in this very small market.
Well, and I think all of the competition is going to force them to have different characteristics. I think the screen actually is a great idea for the low vision markets, for education. That's a very interesting and unique thing to throw into the mix. So I think that that competition is actually going to increase that uniqueness. In order for products to stand out, they're going to have to be.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think the screen will be fabulous for people with learning disabilities.
Yes.
Which is a whole market within itself. But I really think people will gravitate to the BookSense with the screen who have learning disability issues. Well, I think we have done about everything we can do in a brief podcast like this. This wasn't intended to be an exhaustive review of either or both of these products, but I hope what we've successfully done is really shown you some of the differences between the two, because it's so hard to make a choice. And maybe this will help you think about what really makes the most sense for you if you're trying to decide between the BookPort Plus and the PlexTalk Pocket.
And what's most intuitive. Really, one of the main differences is the interface. So I think a lot of it depends on what is intuitive for you, as far as, you know, is it intuitive to use the arrows to choose levels and then the left and right to navigate among them, or is it more intuitive to use the numbers, etc.?
Exactly right. And I've enjoyed doing this with you, Jenny. Thank you for co-hosting with me and asking me those good questions.
Well, thanks for having me. I learned a lot. And to those of you listening, don't forget to check out drcarter.com. Once again, that's www.dr-carter.com for Robert's blog and for future podcasts.
See you all next time. Come back often.